Hamilton Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be your host on tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. We've got a really good audience. I see a lot of people are ringing in here tonight. The lines are starting to fill up. If you are brand new to this call, and I believe I have Deborah and Jamie just rang in for the first time from Baltimore, welcome to the call. If you're brand new to the call, this call is recorded and is available on playback every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My staff, Chris Shar, Carolyn Olson, and Alec, the Millionaire Apprentice, Friel, come into our office at 8 a.m. every morning, and they lay down the wood. We put 16-penny nails in wood we produce. So we will get that call out for you in the morning. We typically have in the hundreds to occasionally thousands of people that download our podcast. This podcast has been around the world many, many times. I want to thank all of you who listen. Very inspired. We have a lot of good announcements for you and great content tonight. I am officially in the recording studio for the first time in 10 years. Early in my career, from 1998 to 2008, a 10-year period, I cranked out content available on CD and cassette. Yes, even back in cassette, I go back that far. And I have a lot of content from the early 2000s, mid-2000s. This is the first new content that I've released in a 10-year period, and I'm proud to announce the name of the content is called The Breakthrough Factor. I will be in my studio late tonight laying down tracks for my second audio program. It will be in the equivalent of an 8 to a 10 CD program, once again called The Breakthrough Factor. It will not be on CD. It will be on download. It will be available in about 60 days or so. I have some great guest speakers lined up for the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. Brittany Cara, who has a following in the hundreds of thousands in her specific niche and modality of healing. Brittany is also the author of the highly inspiring book, The Silent Killer, on the food industry. She is a five-figure income earner in free enterprise and direct sales, and also is a very, very exceptional internet marketer, brander, and speaker. And Brittany is featured at one of my events called the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. Also very proud to announce one of the top-tier chiropractic speakers in America, a very young and upcoming speaker you're going to hear a lot about that I have personally hired to be one of my concierge top-tier chiropractors who does in-home service for me, Jason Worrell. Jason is going to be doing a Facebook Live with me from my house next Thursday. He's going to come up and do some special treatment for Carolyn Olson and I and my staff, and you're going to see Jason at some of my events. You can look up Jason, JasonWorrell. He is a rock star when it comes to healing the foot. He has videos that has in the hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, and you're going to see Jason speak at some of my events. So he really has great content on mind-body connections. And as always, I will continue to bring some of the greatest inspirational speakers, healers that have great healing modalities, and people who really bring great content to free enterprise that will give you insight on recovery, addiction, how to overcome your own anxieties, how to let go, and a whole multitude of situations. So very inspired for 2018. And I'm already well-versed in booking most of my events out here well into the summer. You're also going to see some of my certified coaches who have been mentoring with me speak more frequently at some of my events as I'm watching them write great content. I'm also going to bring some top-tier LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram speakers to the calls in the forthcoming months. And if you've noticed, I've been very, very active on LinkedIn and am creating a great following over there as well. And for those of you on tonight's call, it's imperative that you learn to let go of your anxieties about putting yourself out there, being a content writer, branding yourself, letting go of what people are going to think, feel, say, do about me. You have to be able to step into your power. If you're going to make it in free enterprise, you're the Minnesota Vikings. You're the underdog. The Minnesota Vikings have two starters on their team that are undrafted free agents. That's unprecedented. They're one game away from the Super Bowl. Their quarterback was an undrafted free agent. I mean, David can beat Goliath in your game. You have to be the one, the law of the few, the exception. You have to have courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, and there's always a market for it. You have to let go of being motivated and step into being inspired. This Saturday, I will be delivering keynote inspirational content in Spartanburg, South Carolina, with one of the most exceptional women I've ever coached, Bridget Bartley. Bridget will also be a guest on my call. Bridget is a single mother of three, a multiple five-figure monthly income earner, a six-figure income earner. She has more than two businesses and unequivocally brings great value and just great content to free enterprise. Bridget's been my host on many events in South Carolina. Bridget has hosted me in Greenville, South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, in Charleston, South Carolina, and Spartanburg on multiple occasions. I will also have the opportunity to collaborate with Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner, a woman who I had the privilege of coaching starting in 2011, who went on to become a seven-figure annual income earner, mother of two, wife of an exceptional husband, good friend of mine, Tom Trinkner. So what an awesome opportunity to collaborate. I'll be in San Mateo, California, Saturday, January 27th, Chicago, February 3rd, Orange County, February 10th, Orlando, Florida, February 24th, Saddlebrook, New Jersey, with Diane Hughes Hunt, hosting her very first More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland for the first time in 12 months, March 10th, Kansas City, Missouri, one of my hometowns, March 17th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who is also vying for the Super Bowl, with Joe DiBianca, one of my top proteges I've ever had the privilege of mentoring, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with Abby O'Neill, who is well on her way to being a seven-figure income earner, and April 14th, I'll be in Rye, New York. Now, I just booked that event, so that's going to be another world-class event. So those are a few of the events that I have on the books. Now, with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. So this is really the precursor to what I'm going to be doing in the studio tonight. I'm going to cover some of the content from the Breakthrough Factor, because I'm going to be covering Your Words Are Law. And very soon, I'm going to be doing this call as a Facebook Live. So I've never done this call live, but I will promise you very soon my staff will put that together so I can do the call over the phone and also do it live on Facebook as technology allows. So what I'm going to cover tonight for you, the content is Words Are Law. Going back to 1990, as I was relatively new to free enterprise, I was 34 years old in that time frame. I had 3 years of sobriety under my belt, and early in my sobriety, I had been handed a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It, a book written in 1925 by an exceptional woman named Florence Scovel Shinn. And as I open that book tonight, I open to chapter number 2, page 22 in DeVos Publishing. It's The Power of Word. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A person knowing the power of the word becomes very careful of his conversation. He has only to watch the reaction of his words to know that words do not return void. You've heard me use that term. Words do not return void. What that means is it means exactly what it means. It means that your words, your wand, your words are your law. When you say, I'm always worried, I'm always overwhelmed, I worry all the time, I worry about money. Money doesn't worry about you. When you give money anxiety, money will avoid you because of your scarcity consciousness. Your objective is to have a relationship with money that's conducive to the creation of it, not to the avoidance of it. And you're not attracting money. You want to be able to attract people you can collaborate with. You want to be able to deliver service and value, and you don't raise your prices, you raise your value. As you become skilled at the ability to connect and communicate through the power of word, now you're starting to master a skill called persuasion, persuasion mastery. So you have to be able to master your emotional state so you can let go of the anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy that keep you in a misalignment. So if you have back issues, neck issues, lower back issues, there's a high probability there's events that you're holding on to that have been repressed and are unresolved. If you have diseases and you show up on one of my calls, there's a high probability in that your hour of coaching with me, I will assist you to address the symptoms that cause the effect. Happens frequently. I had a woman show up today who was congested. She had a sinus headache and a migraine headache. And in 50 minutes of one-on-one coaching with me, her symptoms miraculously had left. Now, that's because I'm very skilled at understanding the mind-body connections that shape the feelings. When you become skilled at the power of word and you have word association that assists you to let go, but if you continue to live in the how do I don't understand, I'm overwhelmed state, I'm always worried and this always happens to me, then the parking space at the restaurant doesn't show up for you because you don't expect it. You drive around the parking lot because you've already created a corresponding response to your emotional state that these things don't happen for you. So the parking space that is there for you, you miss it because you're checked out. And then you park in the back of the parking lot because that was your expectation. Now, when your words don't return void and you begin to change the power of word, and there's more to it than just affirmations. Affirmations mean to state, to affirm, to speak into existence, a reality that you're in the process of creating. As you begin to change your belief and let go of your anxieties, an over-obligated state of emotion that keeps you over-obligating, enabling, and doing too much for others, so you can be disappointed and resentful, then you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that keep you in a neurological emotional condition, overwhelmed to a state of feelings, attracting to reality the same situation to fulfill the words that you speak into existence. When you become clear, you have clarity. And until you have clarity, you're indecisive. When you're indecisive, your word choices will be sounds oftentimes. Yeah, okay. And then there's the yeah, sure. And then there's the I don't know. And then much of the American populace inserts a word telegraphing their doubt mid-sentence called guess. I've counted oftentimes in people that I coach, mentor, collaborate with, how many times they say kinda, sorta, guess, and need to. Imagine how indecisive a large percent of society is. This is why they're overwhelmed, overweight, and overworked, being compensated what a job is worth. Now, if you want to be compensated in free enterprise, what the free market will bear, it starts with being able to let go of your anxieties, being able to step into an emotional body where you're in a relaxed body. You don't perform your best when your back's against the wall. You perform your best in a relaxed body. As you begin to relax and let go, as you release your anxiety about events that no longer serve you, as you're able to address your guilt and shame from the past violations and the family members who are passive-aggressive, narcissistic, who use guilt to control you, as you begin to step into that emotional power, then now you're in a place called conscious awareness. When you're aware of what you speak, you'll begin to change not only your words, but you'll be able to change the corresponding response that comes from your words. Emotions create a corresponding response, meaning when you live in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy, that means your body's in a state of fight or flight. When you repress your feelings and emotions, your body cries out, please feed me. I require something to give me a neurochemical high to address the overwhelmed state I'm in. Now, as you begin to have a better understanding of why you do what you do, and you're in a leveraged business, and you're committed, not interested, as you commit to your recovery, that means one day at a time, and as you begin to be and stay in an emotionally recovered body, you will begin to attract your reality through your words, spoken and written, a different set of circumstances. Now, this means instead of being average, you start to live an exceptional life, and it begins with having the clarity. Clarity comes from your word choices. Clarity comes from your vision. But if you can't conceptualize and you can't integrate and implement, then you'll continue to get ready to get ready. Now, if you continue to run a non-profit organization from the discomfort of your home and you have money challenges, well, it's not the money challenges, it's the challenge to be responsible. if you continue to give your services away, it's because you're uncomfortable in asking, receiving, and deserving for what the free market will bear. You don't ever raise your prices, you raise your value. And it's your responsibility to be able to create what the free market will bear. I was coaching one of my clients today who has shifted from being a therapist to being a coach. She is amazed at how she can command from free enterprise a different set of value than she ever did as a therapist. She's also not in the insurance world groveling and begging for her money. She's able to create 4-5-figure income results from the comfort of her home monthly, eventually will be weekly. Now, a 5-figure monthly result, I mean, that's 6 figures, but if you start to create 6 figures weekly, that's $40,000 a month. $40,000 a month times 12, that's right at $500,000 a year. Now, if you have a business from the comfort of your home, that's a for-profit business with very low overhead. And you're not in business to help people. You're in business for profit. Helping people, serving people, delivering value, that's all a component of owning a business. But you have to understand that you're in business for profit. And the better your value and the better your service, the higher the quality you're going to be able to deliver. But if you have a disconnection between service value and then receiving, then you'll deliver great service, great value, and then you'll be disappointed because you don't get compensated for your worth. Now, if you're not valuable, then you're going to continue to perpetuate low self-esteem. This is why your words are imperative to the way you speak. Now that I'm grown up, I'm capable of asking and creating what the free market will bear. These are the power of affirmation. Affirmations are declaration. Words are law. As you begin to become a content writer and you start to write content directed toward the people you seek to attract, as you start to understand what it means to graph search, means you start to create searches through social media for your ideal prospect, your ideal client. As you have a better understanding of who your ideal client is, then you'll be able to qualify people effectively for your value. You'll be able to ask the questions in a sequence about being able to create the transactions. I ask people frequently when they say, I'd really like to, but I have to do this. So I'll ask them, can you close? Can you ask? That's the follow-up question to someone who gives you an objection. People do not reject you. What most people can't do is decide. And their money decisions are based on their own scarcity. Instead of living in scarcity, you want to live in plenty. And people go, well, that's easy for you. You're a millionaire. Not always. I've had a very healthy dialogue with money most of my life. I've also been a compulsive spender, debtor. I've used money to buy friends in my addictive states. I've also blown more money than I could possibly ever spend. But I've always been skilled at creating money. Creation of money is a skill. And it's also the way you speak about money will determine your ability to attract and create the people you can collaborate with to create money. You don't make money. That's what governments do. The Federal Reserve operates off a 9-to-1 principle. They're a cartel that has no rules. Imagine that kind of business. The banking industry is run by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has free status to be able to print $9 million for every $1 million they create. They have no rules. What a great business to be in. It's your responsibility to understand, in free enterprise, how to create your fair share. But if you have a job or a business that's not leveraged, and there's a high probability that the words you speak will be about struggle. And if you're a noble struggler, there's a high probability you'll be overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, you're in a neurochemical emotional state attracting you to reality, the people and situations that will disappoint you. And then some of the words you'll say, this always happens to me. People ask me, how did you do it? Well, it's not something I did. It's who I became, and I became it one day at a time through simple emotional discipline. I realized that even in recovery of drugs and alcohol, I was a dry addict. And being a dry addict means that I'm in a recovery state, but I'm still pissed off about who's not giving me the love, who's not taking care of me. And I had a chip on my shoulder because I felt like I was behind the eight ball. These are ways I used to talk. Now, I used to buy eight balls and do eight balls, but this was a different kind of eight ball. This was the black eight ball on a pool table that I would position myself behind. the black sheep syndrome, the not good enough syndrome, the overwhelm syndrome. How am I ever going to overcome these situations? How do I? That's what many people do. They want technical know-how. How do I? How do I? How do I? It's never how do I, it's why do you? Why do you behave the way you hate? That's what many people do. I don't like this. I don't like having a hangover. Well, that's the payoff you get by the way you speak. You speak into existence the very reality you seek to create. I'm not sure if I can. You have no idea how difficult it is. When you're a hardaholic, your communication style will foster your anxiety. When you're an easyologist or you step into the law of ease, you'll let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control. As you begin to become the you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your anxiety, then you can put the 16-penny nail in wood with blindfolded. You won't be worried about hitting your thumb. When you worry about hitting your thumb, you hit your thumb. Then you get a big black nail on your thumb and it drops off. And you go, see, this always happens to me. Now, I'm going to break this down for you so you have a better understanding of cause and effect. Emotions have a corresponding response. What does that mean? It means that anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, grief, and apathy. Now, what many people do is they unconsciously focus on the very situation they seek not to create. This is why so many people focus on not failing. By not failing, they fail because they avoid. When you avoid chronically, your body's in a state of fight or flight. Now, you've been avoiding many situations throughout the course of your life. You avoid the diet, or you go on and off the diet, but you diet, but you don't really commit. So you'll commit, you'll commit for other people, but you won't commit for yourself. Now, that's the contradiction. You go out and work your ass off and trade time for someone else's money, a place called a job, for $60,000, $80,000. I know some of you are shaking your head. How does he know? Because I know, I've coached you. I'm compassionate for you, but I'm also going to confront your sorry ass to get off of it so you have a better understanding of why you do what you do. So emotions have a corresponding response, meaning that when you telegraph your emotions, people who are highly evolved, spiritually conscious, aware, people who leave an extrasensory perception, people who are indigo children or indigo adults, they have a different edge on you because they understand cause and effect. These are the very people you seek to attract, but you can't attract them because of your emotional state. You end up telegraphing your anxieties, saying, wow, I hope they don't ask me this. Then they ask you the very situation. This is when you say there probably won't be a parking space. You create reality through your words and feelings based on the events that you shape. This business is really difficult. Actually, the business isn't difficult. You're difficult because of the way you operate. When you get up in the morning overwhelmed and worried, there's a high probability that you have a kink in your neck. You have low back pain. Well, that's because someone's a pain in your ass. And you continue to attract these people to your reality to fulfill your feelings. And when you have a pain in your neck, it's typically a direct reflection of someone close to you that now affects your sinuses that gives you a migraine or a sinus headache. How do you know all this, Mr. Combs? Because I'm a genius, number one, but I've been studying it for 35 years. I mean, as a young child, I was making my own tinctures. I understand cause and effect. I could memorize content that I've never read. I could finish sentences from other people. I mean, we all can do these things. I'm not that unique. You're as unique as I am, or you wouldn't be listening to this call tonight. When you stop being a victim, let people victimize you, when you let go of your guilt and shame, when you're really ready to not be ready and get ready, when you're ready to commit. See, now that's the contradiction. You have to stop getting ready to commit. You commit to commit, and then you're committed. Once you're committed, there's no backing down. This is why if you're not commitment conscious, you can't ask commitment questions. This is why if you have to ask permission in all these other situations, or you have to vacillate, pontificate, levitate, everything has to be perfect. If you can't decide emotionally, how can you attract other emotional decision creators? Well, you can't. That relegates you to the largest percent of society, the 80%. Now, if you're seeking to attract 20% of society to be your clients, your collaborators, and your teammates, then you have to step into this space called the law of the few. And that means in your word choices, you begin to communicate with your body and your brain differently. The way you communicate with self will either dictate whether you have any self-esteem or whether you live in low self-esteem. Self-esteem is how you feel about self. Low self-esteem will be a direct reflection of the events that you repress and hold on to. When you're not the mind-body connection of the events, Then you won't justify, validate, and explain yourself to the perpetrators and violators that you continue to attract to justify your low self-esteem. When you become rigorously honest and stop telling yourself you had a great childhood, when you stop letting people use guilt to control you, then you'll change who and what you attract. Until then, you'll continue to replay the same movie over and over. You'll watch A Wonderful Life every Christmas and cry and go, oh my God, what a great movie. And that Donna Reed who grew up in Denison, Iowa, which is close to where I grew up, and when Jimmy Stewart jumps off the bridge and Clarence the Angel jumps in to save his life, you'll get a tear and you'll go, oh, what a great movie. But you got to start to live a story like that. This comeback story that you're waiting to wait for the comeback, there is no comeback. The comeback is right now. You don't want to wait your back's against the wall. You don't operate the best then. You operate in a relaxed body. It's not how do I change, I'm changing now, like right frickin' now, Chief. Right now, that's what I mean. You, yeah, you, homie, right now. What does that mean? It means that you decide, you commit. There's no more how do I's. In spirituality, it's an I am state. In personal development, self-improvement, and recovery, it's I am. It's not I'm going to. I'm going to stop drinking Crown Royal after the next holiday. That doesn't happen like that. You stop drinking Crown Royal tonight because you know the pain's great enough. You stop medicating yourself. You stop educating yourself. So many people educate yourself and medicate yourself by all the podcasts, all the information. Now, I have books, a couple thousand of them. I skim them. But I don't spend the rest of my life reading personal development. I live it. If you started to live it, you wouldn't have to read it as much. If you lived it, you'd know it. Because if you lived it, you'd start to receive the content like I do from a place called the morphogenic field. You'd receive and deliver. You wouldn't have to try and figure out what to write. You'd be able to sit down and compose on command. You wouldn't have writer's block because you would be able to write content because your words are flowing. When you're in resistance, there is no flow. When you live in resistance, you attract people and situations to fulfill your anxieties and fight or flight that you live in. As you begin to live in the flow, there's no more relapsing. There's no more cheat days. Because you don't medicate yourself with food, drugs, alcohol, compulsive spending, debting, and you don't get disappointed. I'm not suggesting it's a perfect life, but I'm suggesting that you can have a command of your emotions like I do. You can live very frequently like I do and not have any cheat days. And you can live in a state in a relaxed body where you can be a practical perfectionist rather than a neurotic one. What many people do is they use perfection as an excuse to fail. And then they say they don't want to fail, but they fail to engage because they're so neurotically perfect that they can't put the nail in the wood. Once again, a 16-penny nail. I grew up on a farm and a ranch. I love 16-penny nails. I have one on my desk right here. I love to put it in a piece of wood and lay it down, baby. Put that hammer right on that. There's no sweeter sound than I know Jeremy in North Dakota can realize this, and the gentleman in South Dakota. If you ever grew up on a farm or ranch, you ever baled hay, you ever put a roof on a barn, you ever tore down a building, or you did any of these situations, if you ever rode a John Deere, you ever went to a hay ride, you ever drank White Lightning, or any of the situations that I grew up on, if you listen to Bob Seger, if you ever listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know what putting a nail in the wood means. It means you nailed it, Chief. And that's what you got to be able to do, freaking nail it. You have to be able to sit there and time after time, repetition after experience. It means you deliver. You deliver the goods. You deliver the content. You deliver the results. See, that's how you have to be able to speak to yourself. Bring it on, Chief. I may look like David, but I can crush Goliath. You can put your foot on the can of an orange crush can and put your foot and squeeze that can down perfectly. Visualize that. That's what crushing it means. You can also use grape crush if you can find it, but that's what crush means. And that you live in crush. It means that every day you get up and you frickin' crush it. Because you become the deliverer. You begin to speak like this. Your communication style is alignment with what you deserve. What many people speak is classic. They speak what they don't deserve to perpetuate their low self-esteem. They attract over their reality the very situation they seek to avoid to fulfill their disappointment. It does make sense. Many people go, that makes no sense. It does, because that's the payoff. That's the high that an addict craves. An addict always craves a little more. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the violations, when you're no longer the mind-body connections to the disappointments, when you're no longer the mind-body connections to the people who criticized you, when you're no longer the mind-body connections, to being ill as a child to get attention. I was born with asthma. If you look that up in Louise Hay's book, it says, child who does not want to be here. I mean, this all starts to make sense when you start to make sense of what didn't make sense. And it's not so much about being sense, it's about awareness. It's about understanding. It's about being out of the neurochemical, analytical, egoic mind called the neocortex of the brain. It's being able to live in your limbic brain, your creativity, and your innovation. It's about joy, bliss, enlightenment. It's about letting go. It's letting go of the events that create the story. You talk the story, those are your words. This always happens to me. I've broken this down for so many people over the last 21 years. I'm worried all the time. Well, you weren't born worried. I'm always overweight. I've always been overweight. I was an overweight child. You weren't always overweight. You weren't overweight at birth. Someone in your family indoctrinated you into food. Someone in your family started to share food with you. Food became love. Food became a connection. Food became camaraderie. Food becomes a way of living. And somewhere along the line, you start hiding the candy bar wrappers in the bottom of the trash can. You eat the food in the aisle. I mean, this is what many people do. Addicts do the same thing. Addicts have bizarre behavior. Addicts buy alcohol, hide it, and stash it all over the place. Compulsive debtors hide their purchases. Compulsive spenders, compulsive cheaters, spend all day planning on how they're going to do what they do. And this is what many people do, is they cheat themselves out of life because the way they communicate with themselves. You want to be one with in alignment, one with. I mean, there's no separation between you and the parking space that's right in front of that restaurant the very next time you go there. It means you get the booth that you ask for. I went to dinner in Dallas, Texas, at a place called Maggiano's, four of us. I asked Alec, the millionaire apprentice, to ask for the very booth. I never dined in this restaurant, but I knew that they would have a small round booth for four, tufted with red buttons. Where do we sit? Exactly what I asked for. Word is law. Words do not return void. You want to become skilled at asking. Can you commit to putting 10 people in the seat at the Saturday event? I'll try. I didn't ask if you'll try. I ask if you can commit. Now, when you're emotionally aware, you can hear how weak people's word choices are. Have you ever considered hiring me to be your coach? What I'm doing right now, and so this person is going to tell me a story. I didn't ask them to tell me a story. I asked them a yes-no question. That was a trial-close question. These are word choices. The way you ask questions will dictate the outcome and the results. When you ask someone a commitment question and they you know right now that they're going to tell you a story. They just checked out. It's going to take them 3 to 8 seconds to wind up, to react, to be able to formulate a set of feelings based on a past event to justify, validate, explain, tell an unrelated story to the question you ask. This is science. The more you understand cause and effect, why people do what they do, as you begin become a master of your words and you ask closed-in questions. Closed-in questions are yes-no questions. Have you ever considered hiring to be your coach? Are you looking for a way to improve the quality of your health? That's a yes-no question. I just started a diet. I didn't ask if you started a diet. I asked if you're looking for a way to improve the quality of your health. When you trial close early and often, and you don't have this anxiety about, well, that's being direct, I could offend someone. No, you're only going to offend people who are offendable. And if you are worried about offending people, then your emotional state creates a corresponding response. You're going to attract your reality through your words and feelings, the very situation you sought to avoid to fulfill your own disappointment. Now you've created your own self-fulfilling prophecy to prove you're right. It's classic. God, this is so cool when you understand this. Yeah, I mean, when you let go of how overwhelmed you are and how perfect you think you have to be, and how you have to have this scripted. I was recently speaking to a client of mine who has spent the last month getting his scripts ready. I'm like, scripts? That's like playoffs. Playoffs? Remember Jim Morris said that? Playoffs, scripts. I mean, scripts are good, but you have to be unscripted in a methodical way. So there is value in a script, but there has to be, you have to have a method to ask and a method to sell. And when you start to be methodical and systematic and organized and detailed, and you live in a relaxed body, it's amazing what starts to happen. Because now you're using persuasion skills. neuro-linguistic programming. You're able to write content that magnetizes, polarizes, and attracts to your reality the people and situations who will foster your and their purpose. When you start to break through, and that's the content I'm going to be delivering tonight in my studio. I'm going into my studio at 9 o'clock. I'm going to be there for 1 hour and 15 minutes doing the second CD set that will eventually be a download on the breakthrough factor. When you understand that breaking through is a non-physical, non-linear emotional state, it's a paradigm, it's a shift in energy, it's an understanding, it's an awareness, and it's an aha moment. It's synchronicity, synchrodestiny, you have arrived. When you're able to cross that threshold, now you can create in a breakthrough factor a quantum leap. 2 plus 2 equals 16. Not only has it happened to me, but it's happened to a few of my clients. In 2011, I coached 4 women who hired me in a 90-day period. All 4 of those women went on to become 7-figure income earners in a 3 and a 4-year period. Now, there are other people who hired me in the same year, but those 4 women are distinctive because I spent 3 years coaching all 4 of those women. I watched them start out with me in some level of anxiety. I watched them begin to break through. I watched an emotional shift happen. I watched the word choices change. I watched their content writing improve. I watched the way they started to create interest on their Facebook and other social medias. The power of their power of their commitment started to attract to the reality and a higher law of averages. People of influence and affluence. I watched them rank advance in their network marketing company. And over a short period of time, evolution, less time than it requires to graduate from college, I watched these 4 women achieve 7 figures in a calendar year. But these aren't the only people I've coached and witnessed that have done that. I've done it myself in 2 different businesses. I went from 0 1 year with $100,000 of credit card debt to grossing $462,000 in a 12-month period in the mid-90s. Now, if it happened to me, it can happen to you. Because everyone I sought to show up in the first 6 years of free enterprise showed up in 1. That is the law of the few. That means that I started to attract to my reality through my word choices, through the way I wrote, through the way I spoke, through the clarity that I created. I mean, I was crystal clear on who I was that year. I knew that I was never going to attract or accrue that kind of debt again. I knew and decided and committed that I would pay off $99,000 worth of credit card debt in 24 months or less. I did it in 11 months and 17 days. Miraculous story. If I did it, you could do it. But I was so focused, I was focused on my focus. I focused on results, production, and living in the solution. I never focused on what I didn't have. I didn't focus on my debt. I focused on results. I focused on profit. I knew the only way I'd be able to release myself from that debt was to create enough profit that I could dedicate $1,000 to $2,000 a month, every single month on top of the payment. And this wasn't miraculous. It wasn't a miracle. It was reality. It was science. The science of attraction, the commitment to the time, the dedicated blocks of time. I was dedicating the blocks of time. I was devoted to it. Yeah, but is that all you did? No, that's not all I did. That's what I focused on. But I bet you had to give up your life. It was worth it. I mean, you have to pay the price, Chief. Many people want to live in the land of promise, then you have to let go of the cow pasture. And that's what many people do. They hang out in the cow pasture with the sheep and the cattle, and they moo and baa, and they go, wow, I'd like to live a good life. You could, but it's not a like to, it's a commitment. If commitment is not in your communication style, then you're interested. And as long as you're interested, you're not committed. And if you'd like to, well, like to isn't committing. If you hope, well, H-O-P-E, let's Bob Hope in the Bob Hope Classic, that's great. But hope is not going to get you to the land of promise, the L-O-P. If you want to live in the land of promise, in the land of paradise, then you got to be willing to go through the jungle. And in the jungle, there's uncertainty. And in the uncertainty, you have to be certain. If we live in uncertain times and you have to be the exception, not the norm, then you become certain. That means you believe. When you believe and change your belief, now you're breaking through. When you know, then you'll not be denied. But until you know, you'll guess. And if you guess and you say guess in mid-sentence, then you'll telegraph your anxieties. You'll telegraph your uncertainty. If you use kind of, sort of, frequently, well, you're not certain. When you're certain, you're certain. Certain's a black and white state in a gray world. when you're black and white in certain situations, you won't be denied. I mean, there's no margin for doubt. There's no margin for error. Now, to err is to be human. I understand that. And you're not looking to be perfect, but you're looking to be exceptional. But if you're average, you'll get paid like an average person. That's called an amateur. And you'll make, you know, $500 a month, $1,000 a month, and you'll spend another $1,000 compulsively debting, going to seminars, rallies, and conventions, where you can get spiritually intoxicated by great speakers, but you never put it into application. Great speakers don't want you to go home and procrastinate. Great speakers deliver great content so you can produce. And this is a production business. It's not a business that you get to just wait for that perfect moment. Production requires results. It requires a commitment. It requires a daily method of operation. I've coached 12 hours today doing this conference call. I have another free half hour after the call, and at 9 o'clock I'm going into my studio. I don't consider that a long day. I consider one day in the banquet a free enterprise where I'm getting compensated with the free market bears. Now, notice my language style is not like most people. Many people go, "It's all you do is work." I'm like, "Chief, you have no freaking idea. I have a payroll. I have sales taxes, property taxes. I have insurance policies. I have 7 different insurance policies. And I understand what errors and omissions means. I mean, if you own a business, you have to be able to pony up, chief. Your ass has to be in the chair. You have to be able to deliver. And that means you deliver content. You deliver results. You're there for your teammates. You're there for your clients. You're there for your service and value. And if it requires a long day, you put it in gracefully because you're American. When you look at the flag and you salute it, it freaking means something to you. You don't go, "Oh, yeah, liberty and freedom, that's all great." Well, if that was you, it actually means something to you. That's called pride and dignity. See, when those words are in your communication style, that's called courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion. And when you drop a tear or two, because somewhere between being pissed off, passionate, angry, and committed, you start to find that juice, that DNA, that energy, that grind that's in your teeth, that sand that's in there. You said, "Bring it on, chief," because you start to develop what is called attitude. And in that kind of attitude, you will not be denied. So when your adversary, your opponent, anxiety, your opponent, fear, your opponent, doubt, knocks on your door, you go, "He don't live here anymore. Go down the street." The anxious people live down at 1313 Mockingbird Lane. They're with the Munster family. They're right down there. "No, dude, this is Prosperity Row, and anxiety don't live here anymore." And see, when you live in that state of alignment, when you live in that kind of consciousness, when you live in that kind of prosperity, Prospero, when you are ITF in the flow, then you're easily able to change your belief. It's not a "how do I." For those of you who have ever purchased my affirmation cards, my 52-card deck called More Heart Than Talent Cards, take a picture of one tonight and post it. Find your favorite affirmation tonight. I don't dare you. I'm asking you. Commit to it. Take your affirmation card, share it through my page. I'll endorse underneath it, which will now connect us even more, in an algorithm in Facebook that's constantly evolving and changing, or LinkedIn, or any multitude of situations. If you have that deck of cards, pull out the "I'm the leader you're looking for," or any multitude of cards. That's to affirm it. That's the power of word. When you're able to condense your communication style, you don't tell stories. When you're able to answer a question, that's a skill. When you're able to ask a question in 15 words or less, that's a skill. When you're able to ask one question, not ask 10, and when you're able to say to someone, "That's 5 questions, which one do you want me to ask, answer first?" So this is what many people do. In their words, they're so overwhelmed, they can't ask a question. They ask 3 or 4 in one sequence, in the same paragraph, with no periods. When you become skilled at asking, you are a master asker. That's words. Your words are law. Words do not return void. If you're in a business that requires sales, marketing, and branding skills, then you're going to be able to attract your reality, people, and situations that you can collaborate with on a higher law of average. It won't happen every time, but it will happen more frequently than it's happening now, because you start to align. You start to align yourself with people and situations that are favorable rather than the ones that are unfavorable. When you let go of being rejected, "I don't like rejection." See, when you speak that, you're attracting to your reality the very situation that you seek to avoid. First of all, you don't have to like rejection, but you have to understand it. When someone doesn't buy from you, seldom if ever do they reject you. They typically will give you an objection. I want to talk to my husband, my wife, the blow-up doll in the closet, someone down the street as financially and emotionally challenged as me. I want someone else's approval because I can't approve of myself. When someone says, I'd really like to do this, but my money is the issue. Actually, money isn't the issue. Their inability to commit, to create and or attract the money is the issue. See, you have to be able to understand what is meant, not as said. When someone says, yeah, I'll think that over, you have to be able to say, how long does that require you to typically think before you can make a decision? You have to be able to be comfortable asking the follow-up trial closing question. That means you don't flinch and you don't flex and you're not worried about offending someone. You're only going to offend the law if you are offendable. You're going to offend a lot of people when you telegraph your anxiety because they're going to ask you questions between the gap and a delay in your communication style. As you begin to let go of the events that shaped your anxiety, then you're no longer going to live in the same story. Your word choices will change. As you start to speak the language of success versus the language of failure, as you begin to speak the language of recovery versus the language of anxiety, I'm always worried. Now that I'm grown up, I'm letting go of my worry. I worry all the time. I no longer worry. Worry has no value. I wrote a post in Guilt Cleanse tonight that broke down guilt and resentment and why so many people live in that emotional state. Guilt is the lowest transmutation of energy that the body sends a signal. When you grow up in a family that uses guilt to control you, then there's a high probability you're not going to be good enough. When you're not going to be good enough, then you're going to try and get your good enough feelings by over-obligating yourself to others. You're going to do too much so that you can feel guilty and feel resentful. Now, when you begin to let go of the events that shape those feelings, your word choices changes. And some of the words that you're going to eliminate are yeah, but. But is the contradiction that most people use to undo what they just said in the first half of the sentence. When someone says, I'd like to do this, you should know right there that they wouldn't really like to do it. What they're telling you is what they think you want to hear, and they're going to say, I'd like to do it, but I have to do this, I have to ask this person, I have to do this, I have to medicate, pontificate, levitate on it, I have to sleep on it. It means that most of society, when it comes to changing, has challenges making emotional decisions. Not all, but a lot. Now, that same person can go to Best Buy and buy a $3,000 flat-screen TV, no money down, no payments for 90 days, same as cash situation. They can go buy a new bed on credit. They can put it on a credit card. They can do any multitude of situations to perpetuate a set of feelings that keep them overwhelmed, anxious, in fight or flight. Then they worry about the payment when it comes. And what a lot of people do is they juggle their debt. They move it to this credit card, that credit card. They take a second on their first to pay their credit cards off, not really understanding the way they communicate about money. Most of society's communication style with money, their words or the law, attracts debt over and over to fulfill their feelings. Most of the clients I coach don't understand their mortgage, don't understand their interest, have college loans, student loans, credit card loans, loans on top of loans, and they just barely get by. A large percent of society buys houses they can't afford, but they can afford a payment to be in a school district or be in a nice town. And I'm not suggesting that you live on the wrong side of the tracks, but I'm suggesting that you learn to create profits and let go of wages. You learn how to create money in free enterprise, and you don't stop trading time for money. You start to create leveraged business, internet marketing, direct sales, network marketing, intellectual property, coaching, speaking, branding, any multitude of situations that allow you to attract cash-paying customers, online customers, customers that become producers, distributors, collaborators, any multitude of situations to allow yourself to create leverage. When you're overwhelmed, you have very few options. When you're overwhelmed, you'll talk about it a lot. You'll edify how overwhelmed you are. When you're overwhelmed, you'll stuff your feelings with food, primarily alcohol, compulsive debting, and psychotropic and pharmaceutical medication. To take the edge off, put the edge on, to live in a state of overwhelm. When you begin to no longer be the mind-body connection to the event that creates your anxiety, then you are you and you are free. When you begin to use affirmations with belief, now you can speak into existence reality without a belief that does no energy because that energy has no emotion. when you start to develop your voice, find your space in your body, when you start to have tone, which is 37% how we communicate with people, when you have this real small quiet voice because you live in a repressed emotional state based on events that continue to keep you in fight or flight, anxiety, fear, and doubt, well, then people can't relate to you because your message isn't heard. Your message must be delivered. When you're able to let go of your anxieties about the outcomes that no longer serve you, when you're able to be consciously aware and understand and know, and you stop saying, I don't know, because you do know, when you acknowledge and live rigorously honest and have a better understanding of who to let go of, how to let go of them, when to let go of them, your energy shifts and changes. When you stop getting guilted by someone in your family, upline, crossline, downline, overline, bottomline, when you let go of employers who are abusive, when you let go of people who are passive-aggressive, your body will stop flexing and flinching. You won't be in an overwhelmed state. You can start to give yourself power, a new sense of word choices. Instead of living in force and attracting people to be your counterforce, you can live in power and stand alone without having to ask anyone else permission. And if you're unable to do this, then that relegates you to perpetuating the same situations over and over. When you speak and live in the present, you are here and you are now. And when you're in that space, when you're in the now and in the know, then you're going to attract your reality, a different set of circumstances, a different set of people, a different set of opportunities that are going to empower you. But when you continue to live in a disempowered, overwhelmed state, you're going to continue to attract your reality the same situations to create the same feelings. So once again, emotions have a corresponding response, meaning that when you continue to live in an emotionally overwhelmed state, you're going to continue to attract the same situation. Now, when you let go of the mind-body connection to the events, now, what does that mean? It means that you are you and you are free. When you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, now you can separate your feelings. It's not a how do I, it's an M state. I am. When you say I am in recovery. I am letting go. I am committed to my progress. I am committed to going to bed tonight and resting. And when you speak affirmations, you want to speak in short sentences, short segments. You want to be able to commit and affirm in one day, one week, 30 days, 90 days. You're not focused on changing the planet. You're focused on changing your emotions. Many people focus on changing the planet in an emotionally overwhelmed state, never getting off the bed. It's because the map's so big. Create a smaller map. Focus on results, solutions. Live present. Be in the moment. Begin to communicate with yourself differently. Go to bed tonight without criticizing yourself. That would be a major breakthrough in the power of word. I've asked people if they can go a whole day without being critical. Well, gee, that would be really hard. You're correct. You just spoke into the very reality, the existence that you seek to avoid to fulfill your feelings. Instead of saying, I will commit to that, because that's only one day. I can do that. I'm not asking them not to eat food. I'm not asking them not to drink. I'm asking them not to be critical of self. You can be honest with self. You can be real about self without being critical. When you're critical, you're going to attract your reality, passive-aggressive perpetrators, to fulfill your feelings. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you are seeking a free 15-minute coaching call, and you're in a position to receive that immediately, send me a friend request and or a message in my inbox with your phone number, and I will contact you as soon as possible. This call is officially recorded, will be available for podcast on Podomatic tomorrow at 9 Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, January 17th. Next Wednesday night or next Tuesday night, I'll have a great call for you at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'll be bringing a series of guests to the calls very, very soon. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. You have a great evening.